ready.
Man, this whole society got our women looking at themselves crazy, man. Can you imagine if a dude was walking around talking about he didn't want to wear a pair of khakis because it made his dick look big, man?
For real talk.
You ain't ready for the relationship your grandmother and granddaddy had. You ready to leave your dude if he don't text you back fast enough.
All the time.
And see, that's what's so crazy to me, right? Because you can be against police brutality and not want cops to die. The two ideas ain't mutually exclusive.
Welcome to the Span Report with your host, Mr. Span.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Span Report Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span. This is episode number 147 of the report. And say hi to Mr. Span, y'all. Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. We are getting a late start tonight. I was actually supposed to have been going on about a half hour ago, but there was a lot of shit going on this end. But better late than never, right? Better late than never. So we are rocking out to some Imani right now. Check this out. Rock with your boy. Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. Like I said, man, this is episode number 147. It's a Thursday night. We do this every Thursday and every Sunday. And, yeah, we got some stuff to talk about, man. We got quite a few things that we need to talk about. We got white people mad, which is kind of funny. I don't know why, man. I take this sick joy in seeing some white folks upset. But, yeah, that shit's going on. White folks is mad about TV shows. They mad about immigrants. They mad about Muslims. They mad about a little bit of everything, man. So we gonna talk about that. This lady divorced her husband, man. She is leaving her husband because he voted for Donald Trump. Can you believe that? Hey, man, he is breaking up not only the nation, but he's breaking up homes too. So yeah, we can give him credit for that bullshit. Also, man, we got another episode of the Special Hotel Unit, man. We got some Special Hotel shit going on, and we gotta talk about it. Also, man, what else? We got some dude from New Edition or the cast of New Edition stepping, you know, putting his foot in his mouth about black women. We gonna talk about that. We got Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne Conway is back in the news. For some stupid shit that she said. And no, I didn't see that, man. I didn't see that. I'm recording right now. I'm not even looking at my phone. And
What else? Whole lot of little shit. So, yeah, man, we got a lot to talk about, basically. But before I get into all of that, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Spanner Report Podcast and let your voice be heard, man. So you can hit me up at the hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. You can also email me here at feedback@thespannerreport.com. That's feedback@thespannerreport.com. Send me those emails, man, and I'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to those here as well, man. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span, so go ahead and chop it up with me there. We can chop it up throughout the week, man, so go ahead and do that. Subscribe to the show on YouTube, man. Go there to YouTube and be alerted when I go live, man. Get that email when I go live. You can participate in the chat room when I open up those phone lines. You can also call into the show live while we're doing it. And, yeah, man, just be a part of this whole Spanner Report experience, man. Go ahead and do that. Subscribe to the show on YouTube. And for all of your Spanner Report needs, man, go to www.thespannerreport.com. Everything's available there. The T-shirts are available there. The videos are available there. Every podcast is available there. You can vote in the polls. You can do pretty much everything at thespannerreport.com, man. So go ahead, do that. You can donate to the show. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do, man, you can do that at thespannerreport.com. And, yeah, man, be a part of this whole thing. Let's be a part of this whole thing, man. Real talk. Just a second. I'm getting some messages here. Okay, whatever. Yeah, man. So, yeah, white folks is mad. White folks is mad, man. Of course, I know a whole lot of them are mad because Donald Trump's Muslim ban was actually stricken down by the, I think that's the Ninth Circuit Court. Kind of upheld the stay on the Muslim ban that Donald Trump had initiated through executive order. So he's a little pissed about that, talking about going to what's up, Prognosis? Talking about going, you know, going to court. I'll see you in court, like as if his ass didn't just lose in court today and shit, right? So like they're mad about that, man. And you know what, man? I just gotta say, like, again, this is just one more example. If I hear anybody say that had Hillary Clinton been president of the United States, that it would have been exactly the same thing, because you heard that so much. Heard that so much throughout the campaign. Man, they two sides of the same coin. It's like, nah, dog, they drastically motherfucking different, and you're seeing it right now. I got into a little bit of a Twitter, I mean, not Twitter spat, but a Facebook thing, man, where, like, you know, there's this thing with white folks. And it's not just white folks, but I see some black people do this too, especially some black Republicans, man. And they talk about you know, being on the Democratic plantation, right? You're part of the Democratic plantation, and you need to step off that Democratic plantation and see what the Republican Party can do for you. And it's like, dude, the Republican Party has had an ample opportunity to do things for me over the course of the last 50 years, and folks can't really point to anything that they've done to actually benefit their black constituents. Nobody can do it, man. Like I keep asking this of people, right? And like, so I was getting into this whole little thing, man, and there's this white guy, he's like, yo, man, the only reason that black people like Obama is because Obama gave y'all those Obama phones and, you know, welfare, y'all looking for handouts and all this other stuff. And I'm like, man, the funny thing about the whole handout thing is, first, you think it's black people who really are like benefiting from that. You know, like it's weird to watch white folks talk about black people wanting handouts when the vast majority of people on public assistance look just like them. The vast majority of the people who are enjoying the benefits of Obamacare look just like them. Now, the funny thing about that is, like, okay, now I hear a lot of folks, and I've even heard some of my friends say this, man, where, you know, like, you know, they taxing those, son, like, you know, I got, if I don't have the insurance, they gonna charge me $600, man, I get a $600 penalty, man, what kind of bullshit is that? And then I start thinking about it, I'm like, yo, man, would you rather pay the $600 penalty or go bankrupt and can't pay shit because you got this $30,000 hospital bill and you didn't have insurance, so it doesn't cover you? So now you're fucking, you're in debt up to your eyeballs because you didn't have this insurance. And true enough, man,
for a lot of y'all, man, y'all get income tax refunds. I'm not one of those people anymore. Y'all get income tax refunds. A lot of y'all get sizable income tax refunds, and I'm not one to count anybody's pockets, but I'm saying if you got a $4,000 or $5,000 income tax refund, yeah, $600 less of your $4,000 or $5,000, yeah, you could probably absorb that. And you're still not broke, man. You still have coverage for your family. You still can go see a fucking doctor. So it's weird to me to like to listen to folks talk about these handouts and what they mean and all these other things, man. And like I've been getting into so many different Facebook spats and Twitter spats. My aunt was just like, yo, Span, like, well, she doesn't call me Span, but she's like, baby, you need to slow down. Like, you got a way of pushing folks too far. And I don't know if I kind of wonder, am I pushing y'all too far? Are some of y'all feeling like, yo, you know, am I like the Sharif, right? Y'all remember Sharif from Menace to Society, man. He kept hitting them with like the knowledge of the black man and all this other stuff. And I keep knocking y'all over the head with some of these progressive ideas that I got in my head. You know what I'm saying? So y'all feeling like, yo, man, you keep knocking us over the head with this shit. You keep pounding and pounding and pounding, man. Like, and eventually some of y'all tune out. I sometimes wonder about that, you know, especially when it comes to my friends and my family. I think sometimes they may tune out because these are some, you know, sometimes these are ideas, these are ways of thinking that not all of us were privy to, including myself not too long ago. So it can't, I wonder sometimes, does it come across like, yo, Span preaching? You know what I mean? Like, yo, here you go preaching to me again. So I sometimes wonder if that's what it is. But when I come across certain things like this, especially on social media and whatnot, man, one thing I will not do is I will not give racist and I will not give people that I don't know the courtesy of entertaining their bullshit. That's one thing I just will not do. And I think we all do ourselves a disservice of entertaining, or not so much just entertaining, but actually acting as if these people have a legitimate point of view when it's such bullshit and it's rooted in bullshit. And if you know it's rooted in bullshit and not calling it out, you're doing a disservice to yourself and you're doing a disservice to everybody else, in my opinion. In my opinion, right? So yeah, man, that's going on. But I want to talk about the reason why white folks is mad today, right? So it's a lot of white folks mad today, man. And part of it is because this Netflix series, man, Netflix is releasing a new series called Dear White People, right? Now, this series is actually based on a movie of the same name. It came out, I want to say, in 2015, right? So Netflix is actually making a series out of it. And a lot of the people of the alt-right are calling for a boycott of Netflix. They want to, you know, cancel the subscriptions, the whole nine. So I'm going to read this this article here. This comes from Inverse.com. And they write in to say that the trailer for Netflix's upcoming series, Dear White People, has struck a chord with white supremacists. Many are now canceling their service and using the Twitter hashtag #NoNetflix to publicize it. On Wednesday, Netflix dropped the first look at the show based on the 2014 movie of the same name. It didn't take long for people to start protesting with their wallets. Why all the fury? Well, Dear White People follows black college student Sam White, who hosts a radio show about being a minority while attending a largely white university. The show's trailer teases White's broadcast about acceptable Halloween costumes, which include pirates and slutty nurses, as for unacceptable dressing up in blackface. Now, it says also that soon after the trailer was released, the bemoaning began on Twitter. Members of the self-proclaimed alt-right, otherwise known as white supremacists, were concerned about white people's portrayal in the show. They quickly organized hashtag #NoNetflix and spoke out in opposition of the anti-white show that promotes white genocide. Now, white folks ain't going nowhere. They not going nowhere, but they sure as hell think they are. They feel like they are being wiped off the face of the planet. Now, of course, yeah, there is a browning of the United States of America. That is, you know, that there is no dispute about that. But I think there's this fear amongst some of these folks, man, where like they believe that it's like they believe that more people enjoying the same rights and the same privileges that they have somehow means less for them. Right? That's pretty much what this idea is, man. Like, how dare there be a show that's not catered to me? How dare there be a show that actually examines the perspective and the point of view of somebody who's not like me and is telling me how these folks feel about what I do to them? how dare they put this mirror up to my face? What's wrong with these folks, right? And so it kind of makes me wonder, man, like you guys hear all the time, man, like a lot of folks on the right, they start calling people snowflakes, right? Now, snowflakes are supposed to be very delicate, right? You know, people on the left, and Bill Maher kind of went on some bit of a tangent over the last, I think it was his last episode of Real Time. Kind of went on this tangent about people being too sensitive and all this other stuff. And folks really talk about the PC police and, you know, the PC mafia and you can't say this and you can't do this and without somebody getting offended, right? And a lot of folks attribute those attribute that kind of stuff to the left or people who lean progressive, so to speak, because you basically are saying, look, we're not going to accept this bullshit no more, right? We are not going to accept certain behavior. We're not going to accept certain treatment of certain groups. So we're not going to allow you to talk shit about gay people. We're not going to allow you to talk shit about black people. We're not going to allow you to talk shit about Mexicans or Latinos. We're not going to allow you to talk shit about Asians or what have you. So with that, you can't tell certain jokes, or it better goddamn be funny if you are going to tell the joke, right? But you can't make certain statements. You can't act in a certain way because, yo, stop being a dick. Shouldn't be that hard. Cost you nothing to not be a dick. I know for some of y'all, it really is hard, real talk. For some of y'all, it really is hard. But it shouldn't be hard to not be a dick. It should not be hard to be a decent motherfucking human being, which that's one of the things that I think get misconstrued when they talk, you know, when people start talking about the PC mafia and all this other bullshit, right? But the funny thing is, man, is like, you know, for all of the shit that the left gets for being people who want to see other people treated fairly and equitably, that those on the right who used to mock safe spaces are now in search of safe spaces. This right here being a prime example of it, right? How dare they have a show that encompasses the experience of somebody else and puts this mirror up to a white person and say, hey, this is what we're really thinking about y'all. Hey, this is what's really fucked up and you should probably stop doing it. Hey, this is how this looks to the rest of us. It's not what you think it is when you're amongst each other. This is what it looks like to everybody else who isn't in that small circle, that bubble that you encompass yourself in it being whiteness. This is what it looks like to the rest of us. So you got the right being sensitive about a show like Dear White People, but then also being sensitive about the fact that Starbucks earlier in the week, they in solidarity with immigrants and Muslim people in the country, decided that we will hire Muslim immigrants. You're welcome to work for Starbucks. And what did the right do? Hey, we're gonna boycott Starbucks because they're actually trying to employ Muslim immigrants. Said nothing about illegal Muslim immigrants. Said nothing about terrorism. It's one of those things, man, where they just associate the religion with terrorism and never associate their white counterparts like Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols and what have you of executing terrorist acts within the United States. So no, we're going to boycott. We're going to boycott Netflix. We're going to boycott Starbucks because they don't line up with what we're talking about, right? They're invading our safe space. Then you add the Super Bowl, right? So the Super Bowl happened and them bitch ass New England Patriots won that shit. But the Super Bowl happens. And of course, with the Super Bowl, you get Super Bowl ads. Everybody looks forward to the Super Bowl ads. And Anheuser-Busch ran an ad about their founder and him being an immigrant and his treatment in America when he first got here, being a German immigrant and him not being wanted here. There was an attitude that Germans at some point in time had like an ethnic kind of thing to them. They weren't fully enveloped in the whiteness that was here in America. The Germans went through it. The Irish went through it. And then eventually they all got enveloped in whiteness. To where now Irish folks and German folks are kind of like, hey, we're white, right? And sometimes even Latinos can kind of encompass themselves into that whiteness as well. You can see that on the census when you fill out the census where they give you the option. You can check in like, you know what? I'm a Latino, but I'm also white. Check, right? So you got that going on, man. But It's amazing to watch them be so up in arms about this TV show, that commercial, and the hiring practices of Starbucks, to where they wanted to boycott all of them. Because why? You're hiring and you're taking account for people that look different than us. You are actually considering the others. So white folks is mad, man. Not all of them. Whole bunch of ignorant ones, though. A whole bunch of ignorant ones. Upset about Dear White People and Anheuser-Busch and Starbucks, man. It's crazy. It is craziness to the highest order. Now, another thing, man. Another thing that is happening. Yeah, they are fake mad. A lot of them are fake mad. They are fake mad. I think that's Lavinia from She Be Show Nuff on Twitter. From the damn it, Lavinia. Put your show name in the chat so I can shout you out on the show, baby. Before I got sidetracked. But what's going on here now, what I want to talk about is New Edition. Better yet, not just New Edition, but actor Woody McClain, right? Actor Woody McClain, he's the young guy. He played Bobby Brown in this new Edition biopic that was on BET. Really, really well-made BET biopic, man. And he actually did a really good job performing as Bobby Brown. He kind of encompassed who Bobby Brown was in his performance. But, of course, with more notoriety comes a little bit more scrutiny. And we saw this with Nate Parker when it came to The Birth of a Nation and the resurfacing of the rape allegations that he went through as a college student at Penn State back in 99, right? So, Woody McClain, before he was Woody McClain of New Edition fame, was actually pretty regularly kind of regularly talking shit to, you know, about black women, right? So he had these tweets come out that folks kind of went back and they found. And, you know, Woody's on the tweets and he's like, yo, if it ain't white, it ain't right. Hashtag daily tweet. When I'm famous, I'm dating white women only. Really thinking about finding a white girl. Black girls are so overrated these days. Which man once said, wise man once said, if it ain't white, it ain't right. Laughing out loud. You sleep white chocolate tastes way better. Okay. So some folks have tried to defend him by saying he's been with a black woman for 10 years. But here's the thing, man. And It goes without saying, man. It's getting tired to watch so many dudes, so many brothers. It's getting tired to watch so many brothers go out of their fucking way to throw sisters under the bus, and then pretend like they don't do it, right? You got a whole lot of brothers who pretend like, yo, ain't shit popping, man. Ain't we don't do that. You see brothers who talk about Serena Williams looking like a man. You see a whole lot of brothers talking about, yo, these white girls out here winning, they got ass now, so they, you know, these sisters better watch out. You see, you know, attitudes like this, where like, yo, I gotta get me a white girl when I get famous. Now, some of them may be jokes, but it's not a funny joke. And it's way too many brothers going out of their way to shit on sisters. And for what? What are you gaining by doing that? What are you gaining? Honestly. Now, the funny thing is, man, of course, we could go in talking about how, yo, you know, this kid's got a black mama. He's probably got a black, you know, sister. He's probably got black aunts. He's got black family. He's a chocolate brother, man. Like, he the lightest brother in the box. You know what I mean? So there's that bit of self-hate, and then there's that whole idea of, yo, white is right, white is better, and it's a whole lot of brothers out here really believing that shit, man. And they go out of their way to talk shit about sisters. Like, it's fashionable to talk shit about sisters. Like, you're gonna get points by talking shit about sisters. Now, another thing that's funny about it is, like, yo, there's a contingent of brothers who think that if you big up sisters, that you are somehow a simp, right? That if you give sisters any sort of congratulations, that if you uphold sisters, that you are somehow a beta male. that is somehow taboo amongst men to actually love, honor, and cherish the women around you. Where the fuck did we get that from? How did we internalize that? When did that become the thing to do? How did that become the cool shit amongst brothers? And I, of course, I know some really good brothers, and not everybody's doing it, but way too many motherfuckers are. Way too many are, man. And it's unfortunate that, you know, this is a thought process or a line of thinking that does get some serious consideration within our community, man. It's sad. Yes, it is Hotep syndrome. It's a lot of Hotep. It's a lot of latent Hotep syndrome. Thanks, prognosis. It's a lot of latent Hotep syndrome going on. It's a lot of people that I touched with some Hotepery that don't really think that they're being Hoteps. That's another thing, too. There's a lot of Hotepery being passed around, man, as basic, legitimate knowledge. Folks thinking that, like, yo, they being real deep when they just read a real Hotep. It's some phony, pseudo-knowledge going on. Whereas, you know, and I wouldn't even want to call this knowledge. This isn't knowledge. This is foolishness. This is foolishness. And I would hope that this brother doesn't harbor these views genuinely. That maybe he was joking. But it's kind of hard to like kind of believe that too. Because of the ways in which this kind of has been pervasive amongst a lot of young folks, man. Not even just the young, man. It's a lot of niggas, period, that just simply believe this shit and it's fucked up. So, to all of you who are listening to my voice, understand this. I do not co-sign. I do not agree with any of that bullshit. I try to big up the sisters as much as I can here at the Span Report. I would implore every brother I know to do the same. And shout down some of these ashy motherfuckers when they decide they want to do opposite. Don't let no motherfucker say nothing sideways in front of you, man. Because after a while, it was like, okay, well, he didn't say nothing. Then that means agreement. Right? Stand up for your sisters, man. Be a fucking man. For all of y'all who are worried about being masculine and all this other stuff, one of the more masculine things you can do would be to stand up for your woman. Shouldn't be that fucking hard. And he's got black women fans, man. Who does he think is going to watch that New Edition biopic? Who did he think was the target audience? I mean, like, by and large, yeah, someone of my generation and who grew up with New Edition and stuff like that, yeah, we were all going to watch. But, yo, man, New Edition, they had black women fans all over the world. They was a black boy group. You think black women would not have flocked towards that biopic? And this is how you think of them? Man, you got this shit all fucked up, man. Got it all fucked up. So, yeah, man. What's this kid's name? Woody McClain. Get your shit together, man. You too young for this shit to get your career started off and have this bullshit hanging up over you, man. Get your shit together. Get it together, man. Real talk. Another thing that happened over the course of the last couple weeks, man. You know, like I said, Donald Trump is out here raising all sorts of hell, fucking the world up every day, whether it be violating the rights of green card holders, whether it be whether it be getting his Secretary of Education a job because she donated, because there's a lot of Republican congressmen and senators who received a lot of money from the DeVos family. And Betsy DeVos was just confirmed as a Secretary of Education of the United States. Jesus. Okay. Got it out. But there's this lady, man. She couldn't take it. Like, this woman decided that she was going to divorce her husband of 22 years because of his support of Donald Trump. She can tell you better than I can what her reasoning was. So let me pull this lady up so you guys can take a look for yourselves and let's see what she has to say. Here we go.
And I see him out there campaigning for Crooked Hillary. Come on.
An aggressive campaign and Donald Trump's aggressive start to the U.S. presidency hasn't just split up the country, it's splitting up families. For Gail McCormick, The fact that her husband mentioned he was planning on voting for Trump during the primaries was a deal breaker. Now she's separating from him after 22 years.
I was incensed. I said, I can't believe that somebody that I would be married to would vote for someone whose track record is so obviously poor in terms of civil liberties, his feelings about women, how he treats people in general.
Her husband ended up writing in Newt Gingrich in the general election, but the damage was already done. Even months after the election, many Americans say emotional wounds are as raw as ever. A recent Reuters Ipsos poll found 39% of Americans have argued with family and friends over politics. 16% said they have stopped talking to a family member or friend altogether. Still, there's a flip side to all this division. Our poll found 21% said they became friends with someone they didn't know because of the election. As she settles into her new home in Bellingham, Washington, McCormick says she's deeply concerned.
I think that women's rights are in jeopardy. I'm really frightened at his cabinet choices.
And while politically and physically apart, in many ways the couple remains close, with no plans to divorce, but plans to vacation together.
I think we've done a marvelous job in doing that and maintaining the friendships that we've made together. I'm very proud of that. I'm scared. I'm really scared. I'm scared I have to find a new dentist. I have to find a new doctor. Those are things that they don't seem like much, but when you're 73 and you have diabetes and you've had a stroke, you know, it gets scary to find new people, you know, and starting over.
A long-term marriage changes shape as Americans adapt to a changing political landscape.
All right, now, she didn't leave him. I mean, well, she left the house, but they're not getting divorced. They had that story promoted all wrong, man. Like, she didn't leave that dude. She's just moved out. She moved to her own crib. They still going to be taking vacations together and whatever else, man. But, yeah, you know, the funny thing is, man, like, I'm lucky enough to where I don't necessarily have to. I don't argue with my family over politics because, by and large, we kind of agree on most things. Politically, you know, especially when, you know, how to vote and stuff like that. Politically, it's when you start getting into the nuance of, you know, identity politics, where myself and some of my friends and my family kind of start part ways on a lot of the things that we talk about. But, you know, it's funny, man, like to hear, like, well, it's not even funny. I shouldn't even say that. It's not funny, but it's one of those things, man, where, yo, it's a whole lot of folks. It's a whole lot of folks who are having trouble dealing with this. And you know, it's funny, man. Like, I think one of the things that really pisses folks off is that you got the Trump supporters, because they may not necessarily be our family. They may not necessarily be our friends, but we find ourselves interacting with them on social media. We find ourselves interacting with them sometimes at work, right? And you got this contingent of people now who, because Trump won, will tell you to get over it, who will tell you that, you know, you guys are doing all this whining, all this protesting, and all this rabble rousing, give the man a chance and all these other things. And it's weird because, you know, if you're somebody who follows politics, if you're somebody who watches these things, if you're somebody who's invested and engaged, you remember what the reaction was the first time Barack Obama won the presidency back in 2008. You remember how the Tea Party really galvanized itself around calling Obama a socialist, trying to depict Obama as the next Hitler, and say that, you know, Sarah Palin started talking about death panels and that there are going to be people who decide whether or not grandma's going to live or die based on the amount of coverage that they get on Obamacare, in order to scare a lot of folks into saying that they don't want Obamacare at all. A lot of those same people now have Obamacare and they're beneficiaries of Obamacare, but they voted away. They voted against their own interest and started and their votes for Donald Trump as he tries to dismantle the same fucking healthcare program that they rely upon today, right? But we remember what folks acted like. We remember seeing the town hall meetings with a whole bunch of people talking about, get your hands off my health care. We remember seeing, what was that, Congressman, I think his name was Joe Wilson, actually calling the president a liar during the State of the Union. We remember seeing that level of disrespect. We remember seeing effigies of President Barack Obama. We remember seeing pictures of Obama as a witch doctor with bones in his nose and calling him a lion African and all these other things. We remember all of those things. So when you have those things out in the atmosphere and you see how people react to Donald Trump, you are in no position to tell people that they need to just get over it. No position at all to tell people that they need to get over it. And it's weird to watch it happen because now all of a sudden everybody, like, it's funny. You remember how Donald Trump tried to delegitimize President Obama by first saying, yo, like, he needs to show us his birth certificate. You know, he needs to show it. He needs to show us his birth certificate. And, you know, I'm going to have some private investigators go to Hawaii. And, you know, we're going to find out what's going on with Obama and whether or not his birth certificate is legitimate. And he's doing interviews and he's saying, yeah, I got my investigators in Hawaii. And you won't believe the things that they're finding. He never said exactly what the fuck they found. Never said he found nothing. Right? And folks on the right or folks who voted for Donald Trump want you to give this man respect. And my attitude is I'm going to give him the same level of respect and probably a little bit less than he showed to President Barack Obama. So when I hear a white person talk about, well, you know, Donald Trump isn't a dummy. He's got a business in economics. He's got a BS in economics from the Wharton School. Well, you know what? Donald Trump probably did go to Wharton. And Donald Trump probably did get a degree from Wharton with a bachelor's in economics. But you know what? C's get degrees too. I would like to see those transcripts. You know, didn't he ask for Barack Obama's transcripts? You know what? I would like to see those transcripts too. Did he earn those A's or B's, or did he even get A's or B's? Or did his daddy pay for him to go through school? Was he a legacy kid? Did he even get there on his own merits? I would like to see that. You know what else I would like to see? Hey, y'all call him a billionaire. Hey, we would find out if he was really a billionaire if he released his tax returns. You know, I'm hearing a lot of things, man. I'm hearing a lot of crazy things, man. You won't believe the stuff I'm hearing when it comes to Donald Trump and his tax returns and his business interest and how much he's actually worth. You won't believe what we're hearing. Will he release those tax returns? Probably not. So I'm giving him the same level of scrutiny. I am giving him a little bit less respect because it's really just fuck Donald Trump. But it's weird to watch people talk to you to tell you that you need to just get over it, considering what was happening the previous 8 years. So, yeah, this lady, it's unfortunate that a marriage had to separate or end. But yeah, man, like if you're with somebody for that amount of time and they don't take into consideration you as a person and how their vote will affect you, the person they're supposed to love for the rest of their life, then yeah, man, that person probably doesn't really respect you in the way in which they should, and you should probably walk away. I have no beef whatsoever with what this lady did, and I wouldn't be surprised if we started hearing more stories like this. More stories like this, right? So yeah, man, that is going on. That is going on now. Another thing that is going on is Kellyanne Conway, right? Now, Kellyanne Conway, of course, you guys know she's a special assistant to Donald Trump. And she got herself into a bit of a kerfuffle. Got herself into a bit of trouble, man, because she was out here, you know, doing what Kellyanne Conway does, man. She was doing the Kellyanne Conway thing. She's out here spinning, man. Been out here spinning quite a bit. She was spinning herself so much that she got caught lying about some shit, right? So we talked about Kellyanne Conway with the Bowling Green Massacre, right? She kept talking about the Bowling Green Massacre. The only thing was the Bowling Green Massacre never really happened. And so she had a bit of a a bit of a credibility issue. Still does with a lot of people, especially us here at the Span Report. Big credibility issue. And so CNN made it a thing, kind of like pumped up this story about the fact that, you know, the White House had made Kellyanne Conway available to them as opposed to having Mike Pence come on for all of the Sunday shows that, you know, they come on, you know, the political shows like Meet the Press and Face the Nation and On the Record, all these Sunday morning television shows that talk about politics. And so the White House didn't allow for Mike Pence to go talk to CNN, but they did give, they made availability for Kellyanne Conway to speak with them. Now, CNN talked about, and they tweeted out that, you know, they rejected Kellyanne Conway. They did not want to speak to Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne Conway had a credibility issue, and they would no longer, you know, they were not interested in having her on their airways. Never mind how many times they had her on the airways prior to. Never mind how she was on the airways on CNN talking shit about the very man she works for right now. We talked about that, what was that, Sunday. Talked about that Sunday, right? So they did all of this, right? They tweeting the story out like, nah, we ain't having her own no more. Nah, fuck that. We need some accountability. We need some accountability on Kellyanne Conway, on this White House. We need accountability. Then not even a week fucking later. This was Sunday. Sunday, this past Sunday. What's today? Thursday? Yesterday, Kellyanne Conway had her ass on CNN. Yesterday, just yesterday, she was back on CNN. Now, she called herself doing a little bit of, you know, trying to be contrite. Tried to walk back some of the things that she said. Tried to play a little nice with, I believe that was Jake Tapper who was doing this interview. And you guys are going to see this here in a second. But it's interesting, man. Like, not even a week she was back on their airways after they made such a big thing about her not being on there and their need for accountability and having credible people on the airways. Which, it kind of does make you a little weary about the integrity of a lot of these news organizations and how much of this is just to get you to watch, right? To put the most sensational shit on TV just because, you know, they're now in the business of making money, right? They are now into the business of making money. The news departments have to make money. Before, news departments used to be lost leaders with networks. Now they have to make money. They got to get the eyeballs on the screen, which is why you'll start seeing, which is why you constantly see two people on polar opposites of an issue arguing back and forth. Right? One of them making sense, one of them don't have to make no sense, but you put them on at the same time as if both of these have equal standing when they absolutely don't. Right? So Kellyanne Conway was on CNN and Jake Tapper was kind of challenging her on the fact that the White House has been calling CNN fake news. That there has been some things that Donald Trump and his administration have said that were, you know, flat out falsehoods, man. And it's not even hard to decipher whether or not it's a falsehood, just flat out falsehoods. And so in this interview, Jake Tapper kind of challenges her on that. Let's take a little bit of a listen to this interview. Check this out.
Media have joint custody of our country for perhaps the next 8 years. And count me as somebody who very much wants to find a way to make that work. But at the same time, I do have to say, when we read certain words being used to describe the President of the United States, it's never been done. It wasn't done about President Obama. It wasn't done about either President Bush, President Clinton, because people have a certain respect for and a recognition of the dignity for the office of the president. And
the man who is in that office right now does not have that respect for the dignity of that office. You cannot ask for what you are not willing to give. He does not have the respect for that office. He has not conducted himself as a person who has respect for that office. He looked at that office and says, yo, I can do that. I can do that. Why? It can't be too hard. Bad deals all around. I can fix those. He's very flippant in his attitude about the position. Very flippant in how he addresses not only the country, but the media and the judicial branch. as we've seen him talk about judges, to try to sway judges or to try to sway public opinion about the judges. And then when they make a decision that is counter to what he wants, and he talks about the you know, it being political, and he's trying to rile up his base. Trying to rile up his base. Kellyanne Conway is a part of that apparatus.
So I am beseeching everybody to cool it down a little bit here and there. There are some stories that are false. There are some stories, I read them, I'm like, who are they talking about? Where does this happen? You know, we're here serving in the White House.
Have you or President Trump ever said anything incorrect? Are there any falsehoods coming from your mouths?
Well, I did this past weekend. I regretted it tremendously because I used the wrong word to describe something several times. And I'm sorry, because I've spoken literally millions of words on TV, I'm sure. I've been on CNN over 1,000 times in my career, I'm sure. And
you're referring to the Bowling Green Massacre.
Yes, I am, because I felt really badly about that. But I am glad that I felt badly about that, and I apologize and I rectify. But I want to say something else about that.
Okay. Again, a sincere apology doesn't come with a but after it, or an also, or a rebuttal. It's an apology. Point blank. Period. That's it. Nothing else to be said there. Yo, I fucked up. My bad. I fucked up. That's on me. I own that. I fucked up. Doesn't come with, but you know what I did do? I did it for this reason though. Right? Kind of totally negates the reason for you apologizing to begin with, if you're going to rebuttal your own damn apology with some reasoning or what you thought was a good reason for you doing what you did. It's bullshit, man. And of course, it's... Indeed.
I'm very happy to have raised awareness. I'm told by colleagues at ABC that by Friday, the highest trending article there was an article from 3 years ago on ABC.com, because it was what I was referring to when I was referring to two Iraqi nationals who came to this country and are still in jail, you know, are part of Al-Qaeda. Raised awareness. I'm sorry that I did it inartfully. I never meant to mislead.
You cited a massacre that didn't happen. You said the media didn't cover it.
No. What I meant is the media didn't cover the masterminds. The massacre happened in Iraq. The masterminds.
They spit it, nigga. They spit it. They spit it, nigga. They spit it.
But they did, though. And you know they did. And so you think by changing the word from massacre to masterminds to, like, I misspoke. No, you did it more than once. It was deliberate. One time is a mistake. You keep doing it, it is no longer a mistake. It's deliberate. And she continued to do it until somebody called her on it. That's why she's calling herself being contrite and apologetic and shit now. But you continue to do it. It's part of the apparatus. It's part of the MO of this White House. It's part of the propaganda machine that is someone like Kellyanne Conway. Right? Because as I've been saying for a little while now, it's like everything this White House does, especially people like Kellyanne Conway, is deliberate. Sean Spicer also. They know what they're doing. It is a concerted effort to put as much misinformation out there to give it legitimacy, simply because they are in the positions that they are in. She is a special assistant to the President of the United States. Sean Spicer is the press secretary who speaks to the press daily on behalf of the President of the United States. Their positions lend legitimacy, but when they're also giving out so much false information to a lazy populace, to a populace who wants to believe everything this orange motherfucker has to say, then you find yourself in a time or in a warp where, like, you're talking with people who are like who simply feel like they could just, like, make up their own shit. Like, you know, like, facts are negotiable. Like, we're not dealing with, you know, facts. Like, the facts are malleable. You can mold them and you can change them to whatever it is that you want it to be. And that's not how that works. That is not how that works. But Kellyanne Conway, man, is she is a master at what she does, man. I mean, it's been amazing to kind of watch how this stuff, just being someone like myself who just watches this entire shit and seeing how folks are sucked up into it and watching them believe every little bit of it is amazing to me. But yeah, man, CNN, you know, like I said, like, you know, it's weird. I think one of the things about CNN right now, like I said, it only took less than a week for them to get Kellyanne Conway back on their air. But, you know, they are taking umbrage at being called out, you know, as fake news. I think it was that Donald Trump called them that. Sean Spicer has kind of shut them down and said certain things to them. I think it was John Podesta. Jim Acosta, one of their correspondents, threatened to throw him out of a press briefing during Donald Trump's last press conference. And I get that they feel targeted. But again, having her on after making such a fuss about not having her on and standing on this whole thing of accountability and credibility, you kind of undercut your own argument. You undercut your own argument when you have her on in such a short period of time after making such a big fuss about not having her on. And it just goes to show, man, like a lot of folks, kind of cynical. Yo, they having her on because, yo, she brings eyeballs to the screen, man. Folks like to see a train wreck. Folks like to, you know, maybe having her on is red meat for both the left and the right. The right loves to love her and the left loves to hate her. At the end of the day, CNN gets eyeballs on the screen. So that's going on, man. Real talk. Yeah. Now, we got a you know, very seldom does like someone get named to a certain segment on this show twice in a row. I don't think it's ever happened. I don't think I've ever had like a champ of the week twice in a row. I don't think we've ever had an asshat of the week twice in a row. But we reserve the champ of the week and the asshat of the week for Sundays. Thursdays we get episodes of the Special Hotep Unit. In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as the Special Hotep Unit. These are their stories. Now, yeah. So, this week on the Special Hotep Unit, we have Dr. Wesley Muhammad again. Now, you know what's funny, man? Like, I was kind of, I wasn't even sure I was going to even have a Special Hotep Unit this week. I really wasn't. I wasn't sure it was going to happen. But I posed a rhetorical question on Facebook earlier in the week. And I asked this question. It was basically like, yo, is there any food? Is there any article of clothing, any movie, any television show, anything that turns homosexual straight? Because we hear all the time, you know, like, yo, these foods turn people gay. You know, if you watch this movie, you gay. If you wear these clothes, you gay. If you listen to this music, you gay. Like, all of these things make you gay for some odd way. All of these things somehow make you gay, right? So, if they got all of these things that make you gay, where are all of the things that make us straight? Like, is there an article of clothing that suddenly makes me straight? Is there a food that I can eat that makes me straighter? Is there a certain kind of music that I can listen to that makes me straighter? Like, how does that work, right? So I posed that rhetorical question on Facebook, and a friend of mine, man, from high school, we go way back, he gave me a serious motherfucking answer. He gave me a serious answer because I was talking about Dr. Wesley Muhammad from last week. And we were talking about Dr. Wesley Muhammad talking about, the weed, the medicinal marijuana making black men gay. I don't know how it is. Like, I'm still posing the question as to what was so special about the DNA of the black man that a certain chemical in this weed is making only the black men gay. But I'm wondering how that was. Like, how do we get gay people before this weed? Right? Since you can turn people gay now, how did we get this, right? So, you know, my boy hit me up on the thing. Like, he was dead ass serious, though. He's like, yo, man, you really do need to be listening to Wesley Muhammad, though. Like, you know, he got this whole thing about the effeminization of the black man. Like, you got to listen to the whole lecture. And I was like, oh, shit, my boy is kind of, oh, fuck. He done went down that rabbit hole. So then he started telling me some more shit. And he was like, yo, and you should hear the part about when, like, you know, he was talking, he said, Dr. Wesley Muhammad said drinking alcohol will shrink your motherfucking dick. That's what he said. He said he shrink your dick. So I'm like, you know what? I got to find this. I have got to find Dr. Wesley Muhammad talking about the shrinkage of a man's penis. I got to see him talk about the shrinkage of a man's supposed manhood because of the drink, because of the drinking of the alcohol. So I found this video. As a matter of fact, it's also a part of that same video where he talked about the weed making us gay. So let's go to the good doctor. Let me pull this video up so you guys can check this out also. Where is it? Here we go. And I want you guys to listen to this, man. I want you to listen to this because he's earnest in his delivery. Check this out.
Study conducted showed that liquor stores are disproportionately located in predominantly black areas. Dr. Nicholas Emmanuel and Dr. Marianne Emmanuel. You want to know why? There's liquor stores on every corner for the black community. Dr. Marianne Emmanuel and Dr. Nicholas Emmanuel from Loyola University. Dr. Nicholas Emmanuel is director of the Division of Endocrinology and Metabolism at Loyola University here outside of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
In their important study, alcohol's effects on male reproduction.
Now, alcohol's effect on male reproduction. They did a study. Okay? Pay attention to it. Matter of fact, look at the look on his face right now. He looks so bothered. He looks worried, man. Dr. Muhammad out here looking shook at what the findings came out on this here, man. Check this out.
Can I read you and I something? Numerous studies have indicated that alcohol abuse in men can cause impaired testosterone production. Remember, testosterone is not just a sex hormone, a libido hormone. Testosterone is the dominant hormone.
It's the shit that make you a man. It's the shit that makes you who you is. It's the one that make you deep, make your voice all deep and shit. Put the hair on your face and the hair on your chest, nigga. Testosterone, you gotta have it. Make you big and strong and shit. It's like better than milk. Better than milk, I'm telling you. And it's natural. It's like melanin. It's natural.
The power hormone.
Power.
Numerous studies have indicated that alcohol
abuse
in men can cause impaired testosterone production and shrinkage of testes, i.e. testicular atrophy.
Oh, shit.
Testicular atrophy appears to be common among alcoholics. You know, the Honorable Brother Minister Farrakhan, he often mentions, you know, black leaders, those black leaders who have testicles the size of dried raisins.
Wait a minute. What the fuck is Farrakhan doing talking about the size of somebody else's nuts? How would he know any of these other black leaders got nuts the size of dried raisins? Why is Farrakhan talking about that? I've been missing a whole lot of that Farrakhan shit, obviously. Like, why the fuck? How did that become the topic of discussion that Farrakhan is talking about the nuts of other black leaders? I've heard him talk about testicular fortitude, you know, having balls to stand up and be a man and all this other shit. But is he really, really out here thinking that, like, yo, it's a lot of dudes out here with small balls because they drinking? Is that what Farrakhan is out here preaching? Seriously?
Well, they are probably chronic alcohol users. Because chronic alcohol use atrophies your testicles.
Well, I'll be damned. Abusing some shit can have an adverse effect on your motherfucking body. I'll be goddamn. Who knew? Who knew that abusing some shit could have an adverse effect on your body? Damn, doctor. Where the fuck would we be without you? Where the fuck would we be without you? But you know what's funny, man? The funny thing about this is that we've heard this before. We've heard this in a humorous way. We've heard this in a very humorous way. This isn't the first time that you've heard that that drinking alcohol will shrink your dick. I'm pretty sure that a lot of us have heard this before, especially some of us fellas who like watching comedies, right? We like watching comedies. We've heard this story before. Check this out, man. You've heard it before. Uh-oh. I was supposed to have this set up at my right time, and I don't have it set up at my right time. Let me see. Wait. There we go.
Asclepius, of course. He had a staff with snakes intertwining all around that bitch. They call it Asclepius' staff. It's a symbol the medical field uses to this day.
I've seen it. Now, what legend involving snakes is in both Greek and Roman mythology? Come on. It involves Asclepius' own father.
Apollo.
Yeah, thanks, lady. That's right. Apollo slew the serpent at Delphi, mm-hmm. which was a big-ass snake. That's right. And what, brothers, is the biggest snake in the world?
The South American anaconda.
What she said?
Anaconda malt liquor.
And what is the slogan for anaconda malt liquor? Anaconda malt liquor gives you
woo!
Gives you what?
Woo!
And who else is famous for?
Woo! Little Richard!
Who?
Little Richard!
So, what they really saying is
anaconda malt liquor gives you
Little Richard. What is another word for Richard?
Anaconda malt liquor gives you a little dick. Drinking a whole hell of a lot of alcohol can give you testicular atrophy. And Dr. Wesley Muhammad just confirmed it for us. The studies are proven. The Hoteps unite. The Hoteps rejoice. We got some information that abusing alcohol can have adverse effects on your body. Congratulations, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, you Captain Obvious motherfucker. Jesus Christ, man. And this has been your special Hotep unit episode of the day. In the black community, pseudo-consciously based offenses are considered especially heinous. In the Yonk Right, the dedicated misogynists who perpetuate frauds are members of an elite squad known as a special Hotep unit. These are their stories. All right, man. It is it's about time for me to get up out of here, man. It's getting late and I gotta go to work tomorrow. But before I get out of here, of course, I do gotta remind you guys that we still are doing the all-time hood movie poll, right? So go to thespanreport.com, vote in the poll. And we're in a round of eight. Excuse me, we got until Sunday. After Sunday, man, we move on to the round of four, man, the final four greatest hood movies of all time. So go ahead to thespanreport.com, vote in the poll for your favorite hood movie, and we will determine the best hood movie of all time based here on the listeners of The Span Report, man. So go ahead to thespanreport.com and make sure to do that, right? And also, before I get out of here, I got to let you guys know how to get in touch with me here at the Span Report Podcast. Let your voice be heard, man. Go ahead and call that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. I'll play them on the show and respond in kind. Didn't open up the phone lines tonight, but rest assured, Sunday we're going to have those phone lines open. We're going to have those phone lines open because I got a guest Sunday. So we're going to definitely rock out with them And I'll let you guys know in a second who that guest will be. Also, email me here at the show at feedback@thespinreport.com. That's feedback@thespinreport.com, man. Go ahead and leave me those emails. I'll read those on the show. Respond here as well, man. Chop it up with me on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go ahead and follow me there and chop it up with me throughout the week, man. Also, subscribe to the show on YouTube. Watch the show live. Participate in the chat room. Call the show when I open up them phone lines. Do that for your boy, man. Be a part of the game. Be a part of the experience. Do everything Span Report right there at the Span Report channel, man, on YouTube, man. Go ahead and subscribe. Get alerted when I go live, man, and be a part of the show. And also, for all of your Span Report needs, man, go to www.thespanreport.com. All of the podcasts are available there. The video episodes of the podcast are available there. The polls are there. The videos that I use while doing the show, they're available there. You can leave comments there. You can do everything. You can donate to the show there, man. Donate to the show. And, yeah, what's this? Bear trying to get 10,000 subscribers this year. If you could help me with by subscribing, that would mean the world to me. Well, you got to do the same thing over here, man. You got to do the same thing over here. Understand this here, man. I got to see what you got on your channel first before I just be out here like co-signing. Can't just be co-signing everything. So let me check you out first, and then I might hook you up with that subscription. But you got to do the same here, bro. Got to do the same here. But yeah, man, it is time for me to get out of here, and I will talk to you guys later. But until Sunday, up before I get out of here, Sunday's guest, Rod and Karen from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, man. They will be joining me here live here on the Span Report Sunday at 5 o'clock in the evening. So be ready for that, man, and give them some love here in the chat room as well. Show up and show out for my guests as they come here and bless me with their presence here at the Span Report, man. Real talk. Yeah, so that's what it's going to be. Sunday, Rod and Karen of the Black Guy Who Tips here on the Span Report. But I got to get out of here. It is getting late. So until next time, fam. Peace.